at things a lot of times with the heart of David, which is good. Old covenant is good, right? David always praised the Lord after there was a victory. He always praised the Lord for what he had done, right? That's a good thing. That's a very good thing. But we also have a new covenant. Someone say new covenant. It's been an exciting thing. I've been doing the kids class, and we've been doing things a little bit different this year for Thanksgiving. And we looked at King David, and we looked at his heart, and we talked about that. And I'm going to share a little bit about what they're going to learn today. But the Lord showed me that we have a new covenant, and the example of that new covenant is who? Jesus, right? Do you know that Jesus gave thanks? But when he gave thanks, it was different than David. David gave after God had done the miracle. Jesus gave thanks before God did the miracle. Do you hear what I said? David gave thanks after God did the miracle. Jesus gave thanks before the miracle. You may say, well, what miracle? Well, I don't know. 5 loaves and 2 fish fed 5,000 men plus women and children. I don't know about you, but that's a miracle in my book. Because no matter how many times I break 5 loaves and 2 fish, they aren't going to feed 5,000 people, right? That was a miracle. It says he took the bread and he gave thanks. There was no miracle yet. He didn't wait till after everybody had been fed. 4,000 people, same thing. He took the bread and he gave thanks. Somebody say amen in this place. And then it says that when he was at Lazarus' tomb, he gave thanks, not after Lazarus came out, before Lazarus came out. He gave thanks before the miracle. Amen. At the Last Supper, he took the bread and the wine and he gave thanks. Had he already risen from the dead? No. He was giving thanks before the miracle happened. And then when he returns and he has that supper with a few of the disciples, when he took the bread, before he broke it, he gave thanks. Had he risen to his Father yet? No, he was giving thanks before the miracle. So it's important that we have a heart like David and that we are thankful and grateful for what God has done, but we can't forget the new covenant. I don't care what it looks like, you give thanks for your miracle that's already coming. You be like Jesus and you give thanks. A lot of times that's how we're going to see our miracles even happen, is when we are giving thanks to God for them. What's the difference? Faith. Jesus had faith. He looked at those 5 loaves and those 2 fish and he had faith to believe it could feed the masses. When you look at your circumstance and situation, you may be looking at the things in your hand and going, I have no idea how this is going to work, but I give you thanks, God, because I have faith it will. You see how powerful that is? It's powerful, church family. It is powerful what God will do. We need the old and the new. So when you put them together, what does that mean? You are giving thanks all the time. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Amen? Yeah. Amen. That was a bonus this morning. Woo! So give thanks. All right. Psalm 112. We're going to carry on with, blessed is the one who fears the Lord. And we are on to our fourth reason for being blessed. The first blessing was what? What gets blessed first in your life? Somebody say it. Anybody remember? What? No, what gets blessed first? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. Your children. Say children. Your children are blessed. And then what's in your house? Wealth and riches. And then, even in the darkness, no matter what the darkness is, no matter how dark it is, what do you walk in? The light. It says that your light will dawn. It'll be there. It'll be, and when it's like light dawning, it's as the Lord saying, let there be light. It's boom, powerful, on the scene, lighting everything up in your life. And in verse 5 is our new one, and it says, good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. So the very first few words, good will come. Say, good will come. Say it again. So good means pleasant, agreeable, giving happiness, pleasure, prosperity, all in that one little four-letter word. Good will come. Now you may look at that and go, well, that's not, you know, our children and wealth and riches and light in the darkness, good will come. It kind of feels like a letdown. No. Good will come. That means when something bad tries to come into your life, you go, whoa. No, good is what comes into my life. I'm not accepting the bad. No. Good is coming into my life. Things that are pleasant, agreeable, that I will give thanks for. Happiness, pleasure, prosperity. But then it also tells us a little bit more of who we are supposed to be. Amen? It says that we're supposed to be what? Generous. Are you generous? That's part of being someone who fears the Lord, is you're going to be generous. Not only generous, you're going to lend freely. That means when someone comes to you and says, can I borrow this or can I have? Absolutely. Here you go. Why is that important? Because that shows the Lord that you're not clinging to the things that he's given you. Somebody say amen. Because how many times have you, someone asked for something and you went, ooh, okay, all right. Well, maybe that's something in your life that you need to give back to the Lord. Amen? We don't want to be holding on to things. We only want to be holding on to Jesus. And who conduct their affairs with justice. This means sound judgment and dealing justly. So basically, you're doing what's right. You're asking the Lord for his wisdom to know how to handle your affairs. Sometimes there's times in our life where there really isn't a yes or no answer. And so you need to ask the Lord, how am I supposed to do this? What is your way of doing it? Give me your wisdom so that I can act justly, so I can do what's right. When you think about a just king, it's someone who does what's right. It's someone who makes their decisions based on what is right. And it's favorable to the people most of the time when he's acting justly. It's the ones that are not just that we go, ooh, that was a really bad king. He did everything for himself. We don't want to be those kind of people. We want to act justly. So good will come to us when we are these people. We are generous, lending freely, and conduct our affairs with justice. Justice. So good will come to those who fear the Lord and delight in his commands. So the next time something tries to come in your life that isn't good, you tell it, wait a minute, nope. I fear the Lord and I delight in his commands. This thing's turning around. Amen? This thing's turning around. So say it with me. My children will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in my house. I walk in the light, and good will come. All these things are because you fear the Lord, you honor, you reverence, you respect him, and you delight in his commands. I don't know about you, but this is amazing stuff we're learning. Transforming my thinking is transforming how I pray for things, because I go, wait a minute, this is part of my covenant with the Lord. Amen? Amen. So be excited. We have several more to go, and they're just as exciting. So you can read ahead if you want and be studying it, but the main thing we need to make sure is that we are fearing the Lord and delighting in his commands, because that's what puts us into this category. Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for your presence that's already been here today, Father, for your anointing, for your power. Father, I thank you that you have not left us on our own to figure everything out. You have clearly shown us in your word what you have intended for us, Father. The plans that you have for us, Lord, we don't have to wonder and guess, well, what are they? Well, Father, we just have to read your word to discover what they are. And they're good. They're for a hope and a future, Father, where we're not left alone. You're right there with us, walking us through. This is why we can rejoice. This is why we can laugh. When things around us look maybe even like they're out of control, we can laugh at the devil. This is not the truth. The truth is my children are blessed. They are mighty in the land. You call those things that are not as though they were. You speak that faith over them. If your finances are struggling, you say, no. No, wealth and riches are in my home. I will be blessed to be a blessing. Darkness tries to come in. Maybe you can't feel like you can't see what you need to do. Oh, no. I walk in the light. I see clearly. And when things that are trying to come against us that looking bad, Father, we thank you and we praise you. No, good comes to us. Good comes to us. Things that bring pleasure, that are agreeable, prosperity, Father, those are the good things you have for us. And today, we thank you, Father, for the truth we know now. The truth we know that will set us free. We thank you, Father, the first act that we do in reverencing and honoring you is bringing our tithes and our offerings. We come with joy in our hearts to present our gifts to you, Father, because we know this shows you and the world that we do not serve money. We serve God. Bless every seed that is sown today, Father. We just praise you and we thank you for your faithfulness. And we call these things done in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're continuing on this message entitled, Jesus, Our Expectation. Somebody say, Jesus is my expectation. And, you know, I've heard Shelly, you know, mentioned her friend that was going through some things, And she's told her that, you know, after they prayed, she said, everything that I was hoping for happened. Hallelujah. How many of you are hoping for some things, right? Believing God for some things. Right? Well, that's the kind of God we serve. And Shelley was talking about that with Jesus being the one who was praising God beforehand. And next Sunday, we're going to minister on Jesus, his example of living in expectation, right? There are scriptures that indicate that Jesus, even while he was separated from God in hell, was praising God from the pit, expecting his deliverance. Hallelujah, right? But Shelley was sharing about her friend, and then she talked about how we're living in expectation from the Lord and believing God that she said something good is coming. Right? And people used to get mad at Oral Roberts and write him nasty letters because he would always start his broadcast with saying something like, everybody say something good is going to happen or it's coming my way, right? Let's all say that together. Something good is going to happen. Hallelujah. And the Lord, coached us up a little bit this morning during worship about living in that attitude and shaking off the weariness, even down to watching our diets and getting our exercise, because we are in a time of war. And praise God, the victory is won, right? But sometimes it gets this feeling, this heaviness starts to try to settle on us. Even holiday seasons are a big time where people deal with depression and grief, you know, and some of that is brought on by stuff we're eating. Right? So the Lord is helping us to not accept that stuff, shake it off, keep the praises going. I want to begin with a little exercise that I learned from Kenneth Copeland. Everybody begin silently counting backwards from 10 in your mind. Ready, go. Now say your name out loud. Say it out loud. Steve, what happened to the counting? It stopped. Right? And I was asking the Lord about this, just some thought patterns that I've been battling with, you know, negative things. And I just asked the Lord about it, and I just felt the Spirit of God come up on the inside of me and just say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. And it came out of my mouth, and the negative thought pattern ceased. Right? So we've got to be people that are aggressively, right, contending for what is ours in Jesus. If there's heaviness, sorrow, grief, depression, strife, lust, you know, just turning on the news, even conservative news, is depressing sometimes, right? Because there's people out there that just keep doing stupider and stupider things and just expect us all to buy into it. right? And so we shake it off, and turn it off if we have to, turn on God's praises, keep our eyes on Jesus, and just keep declaring by faith, no, devil, something good is going to happen. You're not going to have your way in my family, in my church, in my nation. Hallelujah. I heard some good news, with this past election just a couple weeks ago. And they said that even, they even mentioned the state of Washington is beginning to show signs of red. Hallelujah. Right? Amen. That's glorious news. There's a man, I think his last name is Smiley, running for the Senate this next year. And they said he is a good one. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we're praying, we're voting, we're pressing in. But I'm preaching to me as much as anybody. I need to shake off the weariness and the heaviness and just keep my eyes on Jesus, right? And keep pressing and keep getting into God's word. And that's why I believe he stirred us up to get into this message on Jesus, my expectation. Because over the past few weeks, I've been working and, driving in through Portland and just all the junk that's, graffiti and drugs and perversions and all this kind of stuff. The devil's just trying to show off and show how awesome he is. Well, he's not, right? But I just felt this Holy Ghost rush of expectation in my car. Just like, the word was, be expecting me, Steve, to show up. Be expecting my arrival. And I'm not talking about the rapture. Praise God for the rapture. But I'm not looking for a way out right now. I'm looking for him a way in to save more people before it's too late. Right? Amen. Well, the foundation text, if you have your notes there, is Psalm 62:5, and it says, my soul, wait silently for God alone, for my expectation is from him. Hallelujah. Somebody say, my expectation is from him. Praise God. That's why you have, feet to stand on, because you're not standing on just, this isn't just positive mental attitude, right? This is my expectation comes from him. Amen? So if it's coming from him, it's an unshakable expectation then, right? It's rock solid expectation if we stay with it, right? It is something that the devil shouldn't be able to talk me out of, or some person shouldn't be able to talk me out of my expectation that comes from God. Hallelujah. And I wanted to read to you, we've been talking about a couple of, some of the ministries that we partner with lately. Last week I shared something from Jerry Seville's partner letter that he directly talked about Jesus being our expectation. And that just like, wow, I've got to share that, because obviously the Lord is saying something. But I read Pastor Rick Renner's partner letter this past week, and we also are a church that partners with the Renners. And they have a tremendous ministry in Moscow, Russia. They do things in America. But just listen to some of this right here. And one of the things that I was watching Eagle Mountain's service again this morning, and the Copelands have had a tremendous year of breakthrough with their finances and so forth, and just like their best year ever financially, right? And people will get mad about that if you talk about a ministry having a ton of money. And people will go, that ain't God. Well, yes, it is God, because it takes a lot of money to reach a lot of people in the world with the gospel, right? Amen. But one of the things they were sharing this morning, they had some representatives from Israel at their church. We have the Israel flag there because, it's biblical to be a support to Israel, to not vote people into office that want to blow Israel up or hate Israel, anti-Semitic, this kind of thing. Because blessed are they who blessed you, and cursed are they who cursed you. And God didn't change his mind about that, right? But one of the things that these men from Israel talked about this morning was this word. I'm going to try to pronounce it right. It's pronounced chutzpah. Everybody say chutzpah. And they were just talking about, Pastor George was ministering on all the things like the multiple, I think he said like 22% of all the Nobel Prizes have been won by Jews. Right? They just have this amazing ability from God to invent things. I'm talking medicine, you know, technology, all these amazing things that they've done over the years to be a blessing to the world, right? But this one gentleman got up there and he said, well, it's not because so much that Israelis and Jews are so much smarter than anybody else. They just have chutzpah. And he said what that means is the gall to imagine they could, right? The aspirations to push the limits. Hallelujah. That sounds similar to expectations, right? Somebody say, I got chutzpah. I got the spirit of chutzpah inside of me today. Hallelujah. But that made me think of Pastor Rick's letter. It says, greetings in Jesus' precious name, especially at this time of the year. We are so thankful for what the Lord is doing in our midst. And we're thankful for you, in all caps, who are helping to make it happen. Wow, in all caps. So many wonderful things are happening right now in our ministry. If it's okay with you, I'd like to bring you up to date on a few of them today. I'll try to be brief, but because you are a friend and a partner with our ministry, I felt you would want to know about a few of these wonderful developments. But first, I want to thank you, all caps and boldface, for all you are doing as a friend and partner with the Renner Ministries, as Denise and I and our team take the Word of God to the ends of the earth. Many years ago, God quickened Romans 10:18 to us about our ministry. It says, yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, their words unto the ends of the world. From that time until now, we are doing our part to take teaching people can trust to the ends of the world. And you are a big part of making that happen. At the end of this brief report, I want to share an important verse, so please read all the way to the end. I don't want to bog you down with details, but I want to take just a few moments to give you these good reports because those who support our ministry are such a big part of what's happening. So here's what I wanted to get to. A new satellite network. In June, just 5 short months ago, the Lord amazingly entrusted to our oversight the world's largest Russian-speaking Christian satellite channel. On June 1st, our ministry became the owners of the largest Russian-speaking Christian satellite network in the world. As a result, we are now broadcasting the Word of God into 83 nations of the world via satellite, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In seemingly one moment, man, I'll tell you, that's a big statement right there. What God could do in our life in a moment. That'd be expecting, right? God placed this mighty gospel instrument into our hands. It came with an existing staff that has now become a part of our team. We are so honored that God has found us faithful to lead this gospel advancement. Now we are renovating the channel to make it sparkle, as we believe Jesus would want it to sparkle and shine. This is a huge assignment and one for which we are thrilled, but I ask you to pray for us and lead this new network to bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus and to touch Russian speakers all over the planet. Taking this step of faith has also been a huge financial undertaking. We are so thankful to see God's miraculous provision every step of the way. Somebody say hallelujah. At the same time, we are in the middle of constructing, another part here, a new studio in Moscow. At the same time, we are in the middle of constructing a new studio in Moscow. During the pandemic, the response to our TV ministry grew astronomically, and it shows no sign of abating as it continues to grow and thrive. Because we felt the need to reach out to so many people who felt isolated, we began to film 7 different TV programs every day to minister to those in need. This is an amazing amount of new content we produce every single day. And all that in addition to our regular TV program. It didn't take long before we understood we needed a larger TV studio to produce all that the Holy Ghost was asking us to do. So with the help of our partners, we are now in full swing constructing that new studio. Even as I write this letter, contractors are finishing pouring the foundation and preparing to start putting up walls. Our goal is not buildings. Our goal is doing whatever is necessary to be able to teach the Word of God to those whom God has brought to us, and to effectively and compassionately minister to those reaching out to us from around the world. And people are really reaching out to us from all over the world. In that new studio, we are hoping will be completed late next summer. Our team will be producing teaching from the Word of God that people can trust. Our goal is to get the Word to people in the Russian and English languages who are crying out for it all over the world. Because you are our friend and partner, I felt you would want to be updated about where we were currently at in this huge development. It's moving forward full speed, and I'm so excited about it. Denise and I are thankful for every gift that has been given to help us. Step by step, we are moving forward by faith. There are many wonderful ministries working for the Lord, but Proverbs 10:21 best describes our personal assignment from Him. It says, "The lips of the righteous feed many." Our God-given assignment is to bring teaching people God can trust right to where they are. I ask you to please pray for us as we do our God-given part to meet this need. And then he continues about a building that they're completing in their America campus, or headquarters is in Tulsa, and they increased and got a big building there to help meet their ministry needs. Man, somebody say, be expecting. That's called chutzpah right there. I like partnering with chutzpah ministries. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Getting the gospel preached around the world is priority one. Amen. And so it's just cool to know that in a place like this, we're not limited to these walls, right? To this community and so forth. Your giving is literally reaching out across the globe to get the gospel to people. Amen? Somebody say, keep the chutzpah going. Amen. Praise God. Well, expectation defined. Let's get back to what Jesus is speaking to us about. I believe all of this is speaking to us, right? Expectation is defined as words like attachment, hope, the thing I long for, to bind together by twisting, to look, to patiently tarry, wait. Amen. I think that's what separates Christians that receive from Christians who do not receive, is a lot of Christians just are not, they don't have that fruit of patience. If it doesn't happen by this afternoon, then I quit. And you're all a bunch of liars. Well, no, God is not a liar. If he said it, somebody say, just hang on. Just hang in there. Just keep believing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I've been listening to Kenneth E. Hagin this past week, some of his faith classics messages. And one of the things he said was, you know, there's scriptures that talk about people who died believing. They never received what they were believing for, and they died in faith. And Kenneth Hagin says, well, there's no better way to die. There's no better way to die than to die believing. Believe in God. Hallelujah, right? Amen. The dictionary.com defines expect with words like anticipate the occurrence or the coming of. And that's a big part of, I believe, the emphasis of what we're looking at personally here, is we're anticipating the coming of Jesus on the scene in our nation. And not just in our nation, but in our personal lives. What are you believing God for? Do you have a list? I mean, every little kid is going to make a Christmas list, right? Well, you have a God who's listening. A God with ears and eyes and a heart. And he's a loving Heavenly Father. Have a list of things that you're believing God for. Amen? And if you don't know, then that's number one on your list. Lord, show me, what should I be believing you for? Amen? Praise the Lord. And then we're anticipating that thing coming. That thing happening. Changes in our country. Healing in our bodies. The prosperity of us financially. The building of a church that touches this city and this community. And many other things, right? The saving of relatives and family members who are away from God right now. If they died right now, they would go to hell. That's not God's plan and promise, right? That's not God's best for them. So that's on our list. Hallelujah. I've got a prayer, you know, kind of a prayer outline that I pray daily, pretty much, sometimes multiple times a day. And one of them is very detailed, and it's got actually people's names on it that I remember from my childhood. Places I went to school, places I went to church, every job I've ever had. You can open up your app on your phone and zoom it out and just point at a nation. And Father, today I pray for Nicaragua. Zoom in and finally, you know, you just lay hands and believe Jesus to minister to people, right? Interceding for people, expecting results. See, the devil wants to trick us into thinking it doesn't matter what we say, it doesn't matter what we believe, ain't nothing's going to happen. There's Christians by the thousands, not in church today, because they don't think it matters, right? This whole thing is going somewhere in a handbasket, and no matter what I do, right, it's not going to change nothing. Well, that is a cop-out, and it is a quitting attitude, and it isn't chutzpah. That is un-chutzpah-like behavior. Hallelujah. Got to remember, Jesus is Jewish, right? He's looking for the chutzpah. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but you know what I mean, right? To anticipate the birth of. There is a rebirth of this nation happening. Glory to God. We say it, we confess it, we believe it, we vote it, and you're not the only ones doing that. There's people all over this country, even people in other nations, interceding for God to move supernaturally. Hallelujah. Some synonyms for expect are phrases like, see it coming. How do we see it coming? By the eye of faith. Right? There was a time when I was in college. I was about 20 years old at Azusa. And I was so frustrated in my life at that point. And I would just go and run laps around the track, right? And the Lord began to speak to me while I was out there running, right? Something about pushing yourself to the point of I can't breathe. You get closer to God, right? But he began to talk to me about having that eye of faith. And he kept telling me, you don't look with your natural eyes, you look with the eye of faith. And man, that stuck with me until this day. It changed my life, right? So we don't look with our natural eyes. When we're believing God for something, we need to see it in his word and claim it and take it and believe it, and don't let anybody or any devil talk you out of it or any symptom in my body talk me out of it. No, this is what God said. I believe it. Amen? And then it means another synonym is to look for it. Be watching for it. Amen? I mean, the prophets of the Old Testament were watching for the coming of the Messiah. Right? We need to be people that are watching for Jesus to show up. That's what he showed me in my vehicle in Portland the other day. Be expecting me to show up and fix this. Because it just weighs on you. It's heavy, it's depressing, it's frustrating, and it's so easy to just run off with our mouth on things. But no, we need to be praying in tongues, pray in the spirit, right? And we're building ourselves up and we're praying the answer into that situation. Hallelujah. Giving angels assignments. Amen? We're watching for it. To see it coming, to look for it, to watch for it. I like this one, to count on it. Jesus, we're counting on you. to show up and do something awesome in our family, do something awesome in our city, in our community, in our nation. Glory to God. We're counting on him. Amen? It also means words like foreknow. I just have this knowing. You know, I had a dream of a month or so ago that I was preaching, and I was preaching, and I was preaching about hearing God's voice and getting your prayers answered. And this guy came up and asked me, how do I know if that answer is coming? And I didn't have an answer for him. And I woke up that way. It was interesting, you know, like the Spirit of God was giving me this dream. And as I was laying there kind of half asleep, the Spirit of God answered the question. Like as loud as, and he said, you got to pray in the Spirit until you get the inner witness. Right? Pray in the Spirit of God about a situation until you have a knowing on the inside of you that you have that thing. Hallelujah. I mean, that set me free right there. Amen. Well, I want to look at Daniel chapter 6 this morning as he's up on our wall, right? I don't know if that's exactly what Daniel looked like, but I believe that's closer to what an angel looks like. I don't want some, you know, Cupid-looking angel, right? No. That angel came on assignment. That angel is a manifestation of the glory of God, and it represents and reminds us God is going to show up. In fact, he's already showing up. He's already on the scene. We need to be thanking and praising God that worse things aren't happening. Because I'll tell you what, after the rapture happens, that's when it's really going to get ugly. I heard Mario Murillo talking the other day Flashpoint. And he was talking, he was like, you know, I've been telling people, it's like, you know, if you got that vaccination, for example, and people, whether they get vaccinated or not, it should be their personal choice. Nothing that's forced on them. And he said, if you got something like that just so you could go and get a Starbucks, he said, you will not turn down a mark that you have to buy or sell one day. If you won't even stand against this, right? And again, that wasn't negating people's choice. The key word is choice. If our leaders are telling us you have to do this, or you cannot go into the store, you cannot go to the movies, you cannot go see an athletic event, and you go get that thing that they say you need just so you can please them and go out and do stuff, man, we better be checking our gut. We better be praying in the Spirit, because I'll tell you what, in the way the things are going in this nation, the day will come when they'll say, you know what, there's just too many boys. We're going to go ahead and just do that little procedure at birth, because we have especially too many white boys. Just saying that, that sounds bizarre, I know. But if we'd have seen what they're pushing now 5 years ago, it would have sounded bizarre. So the point is, church, stand up to it, because it's not them, it's the devil. It's the darkness. And if we're not going to be people that stand up to the darkness will take over. And you know what? Even people, you know, that are in the rainbow lifestyle, for example, they really need Christians to be in places of authority, even if they don't realize it. Because if Christians are not in a place of authority and they get what they want to the hilt, then it's just a matter of time before radical Islam takes the planet over and kills them. They'll be at the top of the list of people they ice. So Christians need to be in places of leadership and authority for the safety of the planet. Amen? Hallelujah. So you look at Daniel here, and let's just read this. I'm doing more preaching, and I need to get into the word here. How many think preaching should come out of God's word? Right? And there's another reason why people are not in church by the thousands right now is because a lot of them don't want to hear preaching. If I hear preaching, it means Jesus is going to want to change something in my life. Right? Somebody say it's for our good. It's for our good. But I have highlighted there, I'm just going to read the as much of this chapter as we can get in right now, okay? So bear with it. Daniel chapter 6, if you have your Bible. I'm reading the New King James Version. In your notes there, I kind of put the core portion, but I want to read to you the whole thing because it is very important. Amen. It pleased Darius. Now, you got to remember, you know, before we read this, I want to go to point E before we do D, because point E kind of sums up point D. Jeremiah 29:11, and I titled it From Exile to Expectation, right? And it says this, King James Version, God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace," somebody say peace, "and not of evil." Shelley said it earlier, without Jesus, there's no peace. There's a false peace, but there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, there is death. Even if you have 1,000 representatives that tell you what you're doing is okay, if the Bible says it's not, it's going to end in death. Amen? So I have thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end, right? And I like this other translation. I can't remember what the G stands for. It'll come to me. But anyway, it's in there. This is another translation, but it says, "I alone know the plans I have for you," right? "Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster." Now, this certainly talks about us individually, but it also represents a nation. He's talking to the nation of Israel here, right? He's not talking to Syria and, you know, all these. Now, certainly it would apply to them if they would put faith in it, right? But God is talking to his own people here that aren't listening to him. Right? "I alone," he says, "know the plans that I have for you." And God, by the way, they're plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Honestly, I don't understand anybody that doesn't believe in biblical prosperity, because now all the more reason to be financially independent. Amen. Start your own business. Run for office. Let the Spirit of God lead you, right? "Plans to bring you prosperity and not disaster. Plans to bring about the future you hope for." Somebody say, oh yes. Now the key thing that I was remembering as I read through Jeremiah this past month or so is that he was writing to them in a time of exile. He was saying these words to God's people in a time of exile, which is what Daniel was in, right there, okay? And the word exile means expulsion from one's native land by authoritative decree. Man, you cannot do this or that or this or that unless you do this. That's control, man, right? In a lot of cases it is, right? A person, another word for exile, a person, I can't read my own writing here. Come on, Steve. A person banished, that's the word I was writing. A person banished from his native land, right? It also means prolonged separation from one's home as by force. To separate from country or home. So this idea of being separated. Don't you know, without Jesus, the world is separated from God forever. Amen? And here's a nation that was in exile, separated, literally taken captive to Babylon, right? And this word from God comes to the prophet Jeremiah, who says, hey, listen, I got the plans, and they're to prosper you, and to give you the future you hope for. That reminds me, on this side of the cross, on this side of the tomb, what Jesus has completed. Jesus, don't you know, he bore that separation for us so that we never have to be separated from Father God or his plan for our life. And if we miss it somewhere, we repent and we come back to him. Somebody say, get off your own back. Don't be so hard on yourself. Dust yourself off. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Receive your forgiveness and your cleansing. And just keep marching with Jesus, right? Amen. But this word, God is taking us as a body, right? As a group of believers, individually, corporately, from exile spiritually to expectation. Right? We are not the separated. We are people of expectation. We're the chutzpahs. In the middle of what seems like some sort of an exile. Right? Amen? Gotta have a mask everywhere, all this health stuff. And you know, COVID is real, but Jesus is bigger than the devil, right? Amen? And we don't need leaders that put this oppressive stuff on the people to control the people and make it sound like it's your fault, all this stuff that's going on. That's just the devil, man. And we resist the devil. Amen? Glory to God. But Daniel, chapter 6. So here's Daniel. He's in the middle of all this exile, but he is a man of expectation. He's looking to God, and God favors Daniel even in that environment. He promotes him and favors him with the leaders of that system. And you'll see how it goes here, but Daniel chapter 6, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom. And over these, three governors of whom Daniel was one, that the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. Somebody say, he's a chutzpah. Hallelujah, right? And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Somebody say glory to God. Christians are going to take over Nike. Christians can take over Kaiser. Christians can take over Starbucks. Christians can take over Hollywood by just having an excellent spirit and being led by the Holy Ghost. I was listening to Matthew McConaughey this past week testifying about his faith in Jesus and how he's considering running for governor of Texas. You can't limit God and how he wants to do things and who he wants to use. Chutzpahs come in all shapes and sizes and colors. Amen? It's about having, like Shelley talked about, people who fear the Lord. They will rise up. You watch, right? So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, so they could find no charge, but they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful. Nor was there any error or fault found in him. Right? The Russian conspiracy. That now they're coming and realizing, hey, wait a second, all you people that lied about Donald Trump and his conspiracy with Russia, and now they're having to face the music for the lies they told. And that's just the beginning of God handling things and bringing correction to people that need to be corrected, or else they're taking this nation down, man. Right? Verse 5, then these men said, we shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So these governors and satraps thronged before the king and said to him, King Darius, live forever. They are so, such liars, right? All the governors of the kingdom, administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors have consulted together. Right? We've had meetings in private rooms, and all of us together are in agreement that we should shut down the church, shut down faith, or else they're a bunch of racist haters. Right? They consulted together to establish a royal statute to make it a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. They knew this man, Daniel, he is not going to go 30 days without seeking his God. Somebody say, I shouldn't go a day without Jesus in my life, right? Amen? Now, O king, establish a decree and sign it the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Listen, this spirit is still around. They don't even want you doing certain things in your own home. In the USA, I'm talking about, right? But somebody say, no, I'm standing up against that. That nonsense. You had last year at this time, in the state of Oregon, if you have more than 10 people at your house for Thanksgiving, we're going to arrest you. They're never going to be able to. But just to put the fear of that on people, how wicked. Wickedness. And by the way, Thanksgiving's just a racist holiday anyway. I mean, everything's racist with a lot of these folks, right? No, it isn't. That's another message, right? Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? They're saying there's no higher authority than you, O king, even God. Right? In this nation right now, there's many, many cases of people, even in our military. There's 25 Navy SEALs right now that are being denied their religious exemptions regarding the forced vaccination. The government making themselves higher in authority than God. Danger, danger, Will Robinson. The king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, see, now they're demeaning him. Oh, he's not one of your best employees. He's among the captives. You can't trust him. And does not show due regard for you. O king, or the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition 3 times a day. He's a practicing believer. And the king, when he heard these words, was greatly displeased with himself. He realized he was stuck, right? So see, we can't limit who God can use to bring change to a situation. People we may not even expect, right? And set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. He labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men approached the king. Now, let me just say this. The minute these men came up with this plot to destroy an Israeli, a Jew, one of God's chosen people, they signed their own death certificate. They did. The minute they came into agreement and had that signature, they signed their own death certificate. And let me tell you this. The people that are coming against the church right now have signed their own death certificate. If they don't repent, it's not going to end well. Somebody say amen, right? Lord, save them, right? Then these men approached the king and said to the king, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed. So the king gave the command and brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. But the king spoke, saying to Daniel, your God, whom you serve continually, continually. Somebody say continually. To get this kind of faith, man, you have to know him continually. He's the same God in the lion's den that he is in my house. And he's going to be there with me, right? Even this king, this worldly king, expected God to deliver Daniel. How much more should we who walk with him continually? Glory to God. And he will deliver you. The king said a statement of faith right there. I was watching a college or NFL football game, and the broadcasters were talking about another broadcaster who's been fighting, I don't know if it's COVID or something, and one of the broadcasters goes, "We speak health on you right now." It's like, whoa, right, Channel 8 or whatever it was, right? I was like, hey, they're speaking my language. That's chutzpah. I know chutzpah. That's faith. That's faith lingo, right? Then a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet ring and with the signets of his lords, that the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting, right? No musicians, no partying, no drinking, no sinning. When a sinner even puts off their sin for the night because they're concerned about a saint. Now that's the beginning of revival, right? Right? Also, his sleep went from him. He's deeply, genuinely concerned, right? The other guys are probably partying, right? I heard that when President Trump had COVID last year about this time, people were having parties celebrating. How wicked is this? It's the same spirit, right? Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. He was grieved, man. The king spoke to Daniel, saying, "Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually," right? Whom you expect from continually. "Has he been able to deliver you from the lions?" Right? And Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever." See, Daniel didn't leave his place of respect and honor. It's possible for believers to continue to respect and honor the office of the person in charge without respecting some of the stuff they're saying. A Christian knows, yes, we obey the speed limit, right? But I don't need to obey other things that folks are pushing, right? So you stay in a place of honor. "My God sent his angel to shut the lions' mouths," there's the picture, right? "So that they have not hurt me, because I was found innocent before him, and also, O king, I have done no wrong before you." Now the king was, you could say, yes, you did, Daniel. You broke the law. You prayed to God. The law said, the law, the law, the law. Somebody say, no, you got to honor God before some of these things folks are pushing. Hallelujah. "Now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel out from the lion's den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God." His expectation was from God, right? "And the king gave the command, and they brought those men who had accused Daniel," this is the rest of the story, right? "And cast them into the den of lions." Them, here we go, their children, their wives, and the lions overpowered them and broke all of their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. That's called judgment, church, right? And we as believers need to watch that we're not hoping for terrible things to happen for people that are doing terrible things. We hope for them to be saved, man. The same God that saved me can save them too. But if they don't, and they're continuing to harass and provoke and persecute God's people, it ain't going to end well. Right? "Then King Darius wrote, 'To all peoples, nations, languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree in every dominion of my kingdom. Men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel.'" Somebody say, that's change right there. "For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed. His dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions." Now, this is a an ungodly, worldly leader declaring these things, how much more ought the church, who serves Jesus continually, stay in that place of expectation before God? Somebody say, be watching. Be looking for him to show up on the scene, glory to God, and snatch his people out. And praise God for the rapture, but I'm not talking about us being rescued from the world. No. Satan needs to be rescued from us. One of my favorite movies, The Magnificent Seven, the old one, and these guys come riding into town to tear up the town, and they build up these portable walls, you know? They hire these gunmen to come in and shut down the bad guys, and the bad guys go, ha, you're not going to keep us out with those walls, and the guy goes, oh, no, you misunderstand. Yul Brynner. No, you misunderstand. We built these walls to keep you in. So we can wipe you out. I'll tell you what, man. These people that are doing all these wicked things, God has done a lot of things and kind of stayed his hand to draw them out to the front. So all at once, their careers, everything they've been pushing, you watch, 2022 is going to be an amazing response from God's people in this nation. Glory to his name forevermore. And all the more be watching. I know we went a little over here, but all the more be watching for this in your own life. As you serve Jesus, hear the pastor, continually. Continually. Amen? The candles in the temple burned continually. Amen? So we got it. Somebody say, stay lit up. Be a chutzpah for Jesus. Amen? Let's stand up and let's pray together. Amen? Hallelujah. Just thank the Lord for his word this morning. Oh, Jesus, we thank you for your mighty word today. We receive it with thanksgiving. We bind the devil and his attempts to steal and kill and destroy from us, our families, our church, this nation. And we remind you, Satan, that you are going down. Jesus has already thrown the knockout punch. And all we got to do is continue to stand and laugh and point our fingers at him, the devil who has been destroyed and defeated, and keep our eyes on Jesus, pointing people to him. And we're going to stay in a spirit of love and a spirit of faith as we see it happen. And I just hear God saying, stand by and watch me work. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody say amen.